Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Are you looking for a career in education, school transportation, student nutrition, or grounds and maintenance? The Bloomfield School District has competitive wages, benefits including paid vacation, sick leave, paid holidays, and a retirement package. Find out more about all the available positions online or from Mike Sturdivant at 505-632-4326. Bloomfield School District, investing in our future. Bloomfield School District is an equal opportunity employer. San Juan Regional Medical Center is your community hospital, committed to making life better for the communities we are privileged to serve. In fact, better is our mission, improving lives through personalized health and care. What matters most to our patients matters most to us. Offering a comprehensive range of inpatient, outpatient, and emergency care services so you can get the quality care you need right here at home. San Juan Regional Medical Center, celebrating life better here since 1910. KSJE is supported by Music in the Mountains, a world-class classical music festival based in Durango, Colorado. Offering orchestra, chamber, and world music concerts July 7th through July 31st. This year, the concerts come to you with free mobile stage performances in the region, plus other unique venues throughout the area. Find out more at musicinthemountains.com. It's 8:11. It is Thursday morning, the 27th day of July, 2022. Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin, and thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the air, of course, here in San Juan County, New Mexico. 103.3 FM if you're listening in Durango, Colorado, and everywhere else on the planet. We are streaming from our website, ksje.com. Welcome also to our viewers who are watching this visual radio program. The video is streaming out live this morning to the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitter account. So we're glad that you are with us, however you found your way to us this morning. Thank you for being here, because coming up, our focus this morning is the San Juan County Partnership, and specifically the Partnership's Housing Assistance Program. Lots of help available for folks maybe who are struggling to pay their rent or find a place to live in the community. We'll talk more about that with my guest, Douglas Joe, in the next few moments right here on KSJE. So please stay tuned for that important conversation that is coming up today. Then, of course, glad to report, Mick Hess is back from his well-deserved vacation, Roving with the Arts with Mick Hess, today at 9:06 on KSJE. You can enjoy that program coming up immediately following this one. Our coverage, live coverage of the Connie Mack World Series continues today. There are three games on the schedule, noon, 5:15 and 7:30. Of course, you can hear all the games live right here on KSJE, or again, streaming at ksje.com. So we hope you will take advantage of our coverage and check it out, and also tune in and enjoy some great Connie Mack baseball action on the radio today. Don't forget, of course, we invite you to connect with us on our Instagram page in addition to Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And if you're a podcast person, KSJE has podcasts on all the popular podcast platforms, places like iTunes and Spotify and iHeart. And by the way, all of our Connie Mack play-by-play games are available as a premium podcast on our Podbean platform. So you can get a premium podcast, $20, gets you access to all the games in the World Series, including the ones that haven't been played yet. And you can get access to all of them for $20 if you've missed any of the play-by-play action and you want to save those to listen to over and over again. That's available on our Podbean platform on KSJE. Outside our studios this morning here at San Juan College, it's mostly cloudy so far today, 68 degrees at the moment. Humidity is up at 66%. There is another chance of scattered showers and thunder thunderstorms today. Look at that, 70% chance of a scattered shower. Some of that could have heavy rainfall at times, so there is a flooding advisory in the area, so be aware of that if the rain does start to fall. 86 degrees for a high in Farmington today. More chances for showers overnight tonight with a low of 66. It'll be partly cloudy with a chance of showers tomorrow, 77 on Friday, 83 on Saturday with an 80% chance of rain, 50% on Sunday, 50% again with chance of showers on Monday with highs in the mid to upper 80s and overnight lows in the mid 60s. So as we have been saying, the Connie Mack World Series continues, of course, here in Farmington, New Mexico, and our own Kirch Carpenter is doing all the roundup and the wrap-ups for us every morning here on KSJE of all the action from Wednesday night. So here's the coach.
It's a Connie Mack World Series wrap-up with Coach Carpenter, a recap from Ricketts Park. Four games took place today, with three of them being elimination games. This means it will narrow the field of 9 to 6 as we start round four. In game number 13, we had the Colton Nighthawks and the Doolin Dodgers. What looked like might be a comfortable win for the Dodgers turned into one of the most amazing finishes I know that this broadcaster has ever seen. Doolin Dodgers did most of their scoring early, taking a 6-2 lead in the sixth, added three more in the seventh to make it a 9-2 ball game. But then it happened. Not one, not two, but three-run home runs in the bottom half of the seventh, the last one being a walk-off, and the Colton Nighthawks win this one by a score of 12-9. Truly an amazing finish and something that the Connie Mack World Series will probably never happen again, but it happened here in Farmington on this day. Game 14 was another elimination game between two Lone Star State teams, the UBC Nationals and the Texas Sticks. UBC beat the Elite Squad 15-7 to advance to game number 14. The Texas Sticks came from the winner's bracket side but lost their game to DBAT United 12-8, and that put them on the bottom part of the bracket. Texas Sticks scored in the first, only to see UBC match it in the bottom of the first inning. UBC added one in the second and six in the third. After four innings, it was an 8-2 ball game. That was enough to prove to be the winner, as the final score in this one was 8-6, and UBC will advance into round four. Game 15, the third and final elimination of the day, had the Florida Legends and the host 505 Panthers against each other. Both these teams came from the winner's bracket and lost their close games, so they had to fall into the loser's bracket, and that's why they're matching up. The Legends were beat in the seventh by the Redskins 4-3. It was a great game. They led the whole game. The Midland Redskins came back to 505 Panthers, played Southern Cal Renegades, but lost a close one 2-0. Florida struck first in the bottom of the first with a run. In the second, the host team tied it up, only to see Florida take a 5-1 lead after four innings. The difference in this game was the 505 Panthers loaded the bases three times in this game, unable to score one run, and loaded the bases two times with no outs and one time with one out. They left about 14 runners on base, and that was the biggest difference that cost them the game. The final score in this one, 8-2, so the Legends will advance to round four. Game 16 was a battle of two of the three undefeated teams left in the tournament. Two premier programs battled in this one, the Southern Cal Renegades and DBAT United. Both teams were automatic bids to the Connie Mack World Series, and they won their first games in the Connie Mack World Series as well. DBAT beat the Doolin Dodgers 10-2, and then beat the Texas Sticks in a slugfest 12-8. For Southern California, they also won 10-2 against their first rival, the Colton Nighthawks, and then won a close game against the host team 2-0. DBAT jumped out to a 3-0 lead in the first, and Southern California answered with one in the bottom of the first. DBAT added two more in the fourth and one in the sixth. This one goes to DBAT with a final score of 6-2. Both these teams were undefeated, so both of them will advance into round four, and there will only be two undefeated teams left. So as we move to round four, we have six teams remaining, two of which are undefeated, and that is the Midland Redskins and the DBAT United Ball Club out of Dallas, Texas. That being said, the other four teams remaining are UBC Nationals, the Colton Nighthawks, the Southern California Renegades, and the Florida Legends. When you get into round four, you have to look at natural pairings. If there's no natural pairings, you have to draw. The most natural pairing in this case are the two undefeated teams, and that's the Midland Redskins and D-Bat. And they will play each other in round four, and they'll play each other in game number 19 at 7:30 tonight. The other teams had to draw, and what happened after the draw, game 17 will take place at 12 noon, and it will feature UBC and the Colton Nighthawks. In game 18, it'll be a game between two powerhouse teams, Southern California and Florida. That game will take place at 5:15. And as I said earlier, the two undefeated teams will automatically play in the late game, and that will feature the Midland Redskins against D-Bat United. A lot of great baseball took place, but before we finish our recap, we need to inform you of some important changes that are taking place in the tournament scheduling for Friday. The championship game has been moved to Friday night from Saturday. It was originally scheduled to be played at 2:30 on Saturday afternoon. It's been moved to Friday night, and that game time for the championship is at 6:30. With that being said, that means there's a schedule adjustment for the two games that were going to take place on Friday evening. So game 20, which was scheduled for 5:15, will now take place at 11:45 on Friday. Game 21, which was played at 7:30 on Friday night, will now be moved to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And again, the championship game will start at 6:30. In the event that there's an if game, that if game will take place on Saturday at 5 o'clock. As you can see, it was an exciting day at Ricketts Park. More great baseball coming up today. We invite you to tune in to each and every pitch here on KSJE. This has been a Connie Mack World Series wrap-up with Coach Carpenter, a recap from Ricketts Park on the Connie Mack World Series.
Thank you, Coach. That is Coach Kirk Carpenter, who is always providing us with those updates from Ricketts Park. We appreciate that very much, and all of the great broadcasters that we have working with us this week to provide you with the latest up-to-date coverage of the Connie Mack World Series. So more great baseball coming up, beginning at noon today, right here on KSJE. Let me turn to my guest, who is here with me this morning, as I mentioned, from the San Juan County Partnership, to discuss with me the need for housing here in San Juan County and the work that he and his colleagues do to provide that for folks in the area. Douglas Joe is back with me from the partnership. Douglas, good morning.
Good morning, Scott.
Thanks for coming in. Appreciate you being back.
Sure, it's great to be here.
We were talking before we came on the air this morning that you are still very, very busy providing housing to folks, still finding people maybe who aren't aware of the services that your organization provides through the San Juan County Partnership. And so maybe give me an update of what types of things are going on these days. You still have a big demand, right?
Yes, we still have a big demand for one-bedrooms, two-bedrooms, and a few three-bedrooms. But again, I surf the internet and also the websites, and I've noticed that most of the rents have gone up over the fair market rent. For example, one-bedroom is going for $734 for fair market rent, and a two-bedroom should be under $850. But when you look on the website, and you'll see that two bedrooms are going for either $900 or on upward. Same way with a one bedroom. Those are going up above $734.
Wow!
So I really don't have much of a selection then. Once they go up.
Because you are limited with your programs into only paying that fair market rent. Is that what limits you, or how
does
that work?
Yes, that's what limits us as far as going above that. And we just recently got done with an audit, so we get audit every year, not just once but a few times a year on different grants. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things they look at, is just ensure that we are at the fair market rent or below the fair market rent.
Got you. So if a landlord wanted to work with you, they would need to make sure, I guess, that their properties were priced at that fair market rent or a little bit lower. Is that the idea?
Yes. And other times I meet with them, and they're willing to work with our office as far as getting the tenant in and renting out that unit to us. So it's good that they're willing to work with us.
Right. Well, that's good to know as well. But still, you were telling me that there were a lot of folks maybe who come to you that did realize that you offer the type of assistance that you do offer. Maybe they're behind in their rent or are looking for a place to live, but you can maybe help in those cases too for some folks?
Yes, I got a tenant or a landlord that called me the other day having trying to track down one of his tenant. Apparently he or she doesn't know that we can assist them, and they've just been avoiding the landlord because they're behind on rent. So if some of you tenants are out there listening, just give me a call at 505-566-5869. We'll work with you from there as far as catching up on your rent with your landlord, you know. And if I'm not there, there's always we have two other staff in the office that can assist them.
Okay. But that phone number is the best first step, I guess, to at least reach out and see if they're eligible to be helped by your office.
Yes. The other number is 505-325-4214. And that's the direct number to the intake worker.
Okay. And they can help as well. Now, I know that some of your programs are limited, right, by income or things along that line. Is that kind of how you have to kind of look at folks as they call you and to see if they qualify for some of this help that you're able to offer?
Yes, some might be over the income limit because of there is a medium income limit that we can put them at. And if they're over, we'll let them know. If not, most of the times the clients will be under the income limit, or either we can fit them in there somewhere in that category.
Right.
And the other thing about, I've noticed also is that you have a lot of landlords buying up properties. So if you are buying up properties and you're thinking about renting out those apartments that are adjoining to maybe a commercial property, things like that, maybe just check with the county assessor's office to see what that property is what category is under. Maybe it's a commercial property, maybe it's a non-residential or a residential. So we try to work with those that are residential.
Right. And that could be a more of a zoning or land use issue, correct? And that's what you're talking about with those. Mostly in the cities, I would say. Probably the county doesn't have too much of that.
Yeah.
But that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, yeah. Because a lot of them, that's the only reason they're buying up the properties. Because if there's an apartment there, they want to lease that property out.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, rent it out.
But and caution, I guess, too, because that could be grandfathered in if it's an apartment use. And so they maybe don't realize that. And when the property changes ownership, that land use might switch back to what it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what you're talking about. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. And so for folks who are coming in again and we're noticing rents going up, is that more of an inflationary thing, do you think, or a supply and demand type of thing, or both?
Maybe both. You know,
right.
I've never really sat down with any of the landlords as far as asking them why
they're raising their rent.
Yeah, or why they're staying at the same rent,
mm-hmm.
same place. You know, some have maybe just raised it just a few dollars, maybe $20, $25, but others have gone pretty high.
Right.
So, you know, I really don't know the reason behind it.
Gotcha. Yeah. Now, you mentioned you can help in some cases with arrears, with maybe back rent. How many months back can you help with? Does it depend on the situation?
Yes, a lot of times it's like 6 months, and but what we've had a lot of time, tenants have been behind maybe 4 or 5 months, so we hardly get any that are maybe a year or 6 months or more.
Right.
But all in all, we've been able to help those that we can assist. And the other thing I just wanted to mention also is we do have a new staff on board. Her name is Terry Deal. She's not here with us today, but we sent her through a what we call the HUD inspection training, what mm-hmm. I do.
Right.
So, because I get swamped with inspections too. So now I have another staff on board that can assist me in doing that. And most inspections are pretty simple, clear cut. Most of the landlords know what I look for. And those of you that don't know, basically I just make sure to I do a walk around the stereo of the apartment, make sure there's no paint chipping, things like that, no busted windows. Then the door, when I enter the apartment, that the doorknobs work, the double lock works. I can't see there's no big gaps around the doors. Then all the outlets work in the apartment, and the appliances all work properly. There's no leaking sewer and no major holes in the walls. All the fans work. And
that's important this time of year for sure.
Definitely. Right? And the swamp cooler works. And
And these are because of the grants that you provide, right? And
so the idea being, it's one of the requirements that we have to check for.
If someone is getting assistance through these grant programs and getting housing, that housing has to meet certain criteria, and that's what the HUD inspection is about. That's Housing and Urban Development Department, a federal agency. But that's kind of what we're talking about, correct?
Yes, definitely. And so, if they're wondering where I get this information, you see, it's on that HUD Housing Urban Development. Just go on the website and type in inspection forms, and you'll just kind of have a rundown of what I look at.
Right. If there's a landlord that maybe wants to get offer their property, rental property in your program, they need to make sure that they're meeting that HUD criteria so they can check it out ahead of time just before you get there.
Yes. Other times I'll meet with them, let them know what I'm going to do, what I'm going to inspect, and they get prepared, and I'll come over. They give me date and time to come on over.
Gotcha. But you're telling me that you're seeing a shortage of available properties, I guess, for whether it's the price or the condition. And so you're always looking for more properties, more landlords that may want to work with you to get on your list, I guess, if when a client comes in and wants some help. And
where I just recently met two more landlords. They rented out to our clients, and I thanked them for that. And I didn't know they were around. So it's some of the tenants do it themselves. They find new landlords for me, and I go there and meet up with them, and then they work with me as far as getting the rent to the fair market price,
right,
and then moving in these tenants. So it's good that I do get to meet new landlords out there in the county.
Right. And you do have clients, I guess, that are maybe not even in any kind of permanent housing, right? They are what we would consider maybe homeless or in need of permanent housing, and you have programs that can help them too.
Yes, And I probably have like a dozen of them on my files on my desk right now that I'm trying to house around the county. And so it's just checking those websites every day, you know, because a lot of them, they'll be gone within an hour. Once it's posted, you know, other people will move.
Oh, they're snapped up. Yeah, right.
It goes really fast.
Sure. You know? And these 12 people, would you say they're individuals? Are there some families? How would you describe this group to us that's in really need of housing immediately?
Half are individuals. The rest are with families that have children. They're looking for two bedrooms or three bedrooms. So others are living out of their vehicles. So, you know, it's just keeping in touch with them and trying to really look for those units for them.
Right. And how has that been over the last few years that you and I have been talking? Is that about average to what you see? Is it a little bit higher than normal in the summer, or a little bit lower? What would you say this year?
I would say this year is probably just a little higher, you know, because I guess maybe because of the COVID. Now they're out and about, and they're looking for another place to live.
Right. But it seems like we always have that shortage of units available, though. So there's this kind of group that's always, I mean, that's one group. And then you have the other group, maybe that just needs to get into a more stable housing situation. Maybe they're living with family or what have you. But there's other folks in those situations too, right?
Yes. And there is a shortage of one bedrooms, two bedrooms, three bedrooms. And if you look on, the website now, you know, I hardly see any one or two or three bedrooms up for lease, you know, rent.
Right. Now.
And those that are is pretty high priced, though.
Well, that's what you're saying, right? Then that's the issue, is they have to be available first, and then the price has to be right to for your criteria to be in your program. And I guess we can understand the landlord maybe wanting to get the higher price for their property, but if it's priced too high, it may not go very quickly. You sit there for a while.
Definitely. But you know, for those that are working with me, the landlords, thank you again. Thank you for housing these individuals in your apartments. You
know? Right. And I know there's another part of the job that you have that maybe isn't directly related to the work that you do, but it seems to me like you go above and beyond what you do with these clients, and you ask for furniture donations and things like that. So for folks who are getting maybe into their first apartment, who maybe need a bed or a couch or a table or a chair, you might have a little bit to be able to help them to get started in their new place.
Yes, we have a storage unit, and I go around the county looking for free furnitures. And some of the clients that I picked up free furnitures from, they usually call me up too if they have some more. I go over there, pick them up, and store it in a storage unit. So when I do house a new client, because a lot of them come out without no furnitures. So I take them to the storage unit, let them know what I have, and they'll pick what they want, and I haul it over to the apartment for them.
You deliver too.
Yes, I deliver too. Yes.
Look at that. And so I imagine for folks who've been living in their car, let's say, that's a pretty big step and a pretty important thing to be able to say, wow, you found me a place to live,
Yes.
and that's not my car, and also a bed to sleep on, or for my kid to sleep on, or things like that.
Oh, yes. A lot of them are surprised that I do this for them. They compare it to other states that they've come from, that they don't get this type of treatment. And it's good to know that we are treating them right, and they feel at ease here working with us and trying to find a unit for them. And some of them come without a vehicle, so I go over there and pick them up and take them to whichever unit they want to look at or meet with the landlord.
Right. You drive them around to look at these
Yes.
places that are available when they are available, right?
And they're surprised I do that. I pick them up, because they say, again, other places, no one, they have to go out on their own, walk to the places, look for an apartment on foot, or ride the local bus shuttle or whatever is available for them.
Right. It's a lot of extra services that I think you provide that folks aren't aware of,
Yes,
at least until I ask you about them, which is
Yeah.
why I'm doing that. And so your program is pretty much grant funded, correct? That's where
Yes.
you get the money to do all the things that you are able to do, from rent assistance or arrears and things along that line, and working with these landlords so they know that they're going to get paid every month. And so these grants, they come and go. There's some grants that are going to be expiring, but then new grants kind of taking their place, and each of them have different rules and regulations, I guess, that you need to keep track of, correct?
Yes, our COVID grant, we have two grants that are going to expire September, the end of September. Then October 1st, we got another grant that came in that's going to start that around that month too. So we just got to look at the rules and regs on that grant, see who we can put in there.
Right.
So it's just every year we get new ones and others expire.
And does the amount of money fluctuate from year to year? I would imagine during COVID there was some increased funds, and maybe now things are getting back to maybe a more normal
Yeah, it
funding cycle. Is
fluctuates.
that what you'd say?
It fluctuates up and down from the COVID. We had more money with the COVID, and now we'll see what this one will be. So, but I did apply for another grant with the City of Farmington. It's called a Community Block Grant, a Development Block Grant. So again, that one, this that grant will just be within the City of Farmington to help the tenants catch up on their rent also.
Right. And you've been successful in getting those funds before, I
Yeah, we've been
think.
spending those money and helping
Right.
about 8 to 9 families around there
Nice.
with those grants.
Right. Well, it all works out.
Oh, definitely.
There's always room for more, I suppose, too. But when you tell us that there's maybe 12 families who are needing assistance,
Yes.
immediately homeless families maybe who are needing, and individuals who are needing assistance. But if folks are listening again and want to help, or a landlord maybe wants to see if their apartment could be part of your list, what's the right number to call? Repeat those numbers for us, if you would
It's
mind.
505-566-5869.
Okay. And then for intake, you were talking a little bit about that. If folks are needing your help, because should they call first, make an appointment, or are there days they can stop by the office and just come in and talk to someone in person?
Yes,
What's the
our
best way to
office
do
is
it?
open from 8 to 5, and they can come in. We're still using the social distance, bring a mask, and but I have two intake workers. One's Angelina, and the other one's Althea. Their numbers are 505-325-4214 or 325-1178. So
Okay.
those are two numbers that the intake workers will take incoming calls as far as see if they qualify.
Okay. So they can call first, or they can come by your
Yeah,
office, and
either one,
you
they can call first or they can come by.
and remind me of the address on 20th Street. I'm forgetting the
Yeah.
number.
1515 East 20th Suite C.
Okay. Well, there's
Yeah.
plenty of signs. If you get
Yeah.
to the location,
Suite B is the main office for San Juan County Partnership.
right?
Yes.
And you're right down the
We're just
hall.
right next door
Yeah.
in Suite C.
There you go. Very good. Just a couple minutes remaining this morning, Douglas. Anything else that we need to talk about that I forgot to ask you about?
Let's see.
We've covered a lot of it, I know. There's
Yeah.
a lot going on.
There is.
But you still have funds available to help people.
Yes, we still do. So, those of you that are behind on rent, give us a call, stop by.
Right.
And those that are you that are looking for apartments, come by and I'll assist you. I assist those that even that are just coming by, they're just passing through town, see if there is apartments for them, but they don't want to be part of the programs, but I still help them too.
Okay.
Let them know what's available out there. I give them a list of all the real estate in the county.
Nice.
That they can contact.
Okay. Good to know.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask you one more thing about the arrears. Someone's late in their rent, right? And mm-hmm. I mean, that's dangerous because the clock starts ticking, right? And I think a landlord's only so patient. And then sooner or later, after so many months of no rent, then the clock is ticking and maybe eviction starts happening.
Yeah.
Those
they get
procedures,
their,
right?
Landlords will start giving their 3-day notice or 30-day notices to the tenants. You really don't want that on your record because once that's on your record, and you try to look for another apartment, that's going to be on your background. And once that's on your background, that's going to be not favorable to them.
Right.
Looking for another unit.
Can you still help people with an eviction on their background, or does it depend on the case by case?
No, we still help them.
Okay.
We still help whoever comes to our
maybe a little more.
And that qualifies. We'll help them.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe a little more challenging though. Maybe to convince
a
landlord.
It's a lot more challenging
to bring them in, right?
Yes.
If they've already skipped out.
That's the big challenge there with that kind of a record.
Got you. So before that happens, they could reach out to you, and you could probably reach out to the landlord and stop that eviction timetable.
Yes, and I'll just work with the landlord, clicking. Let them know, we'll help them catch up.
Okay, very good. Mm-hmm. Good work that you do. Douglas Joe and your staff, thank you very much for coming in. Great to visit with you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That is Douglas Joe from the San Juan County Partnership Housing Assistance Program, my guest this morning right here on KSJE. Keep an eye on the Animas River as the Pirates of Penzance land in Farmington this July. Gilbert and Sullivan's comic opera opens July 7th in Lyons Wilderness Amphitheater with performances Thursday through Sunday through July 31st. The show features pirates, policemen, and absurd adventures. There's more jolt-worthy entertainment coming in August when Annie takes the stage at the Farmington Civic Center. Find out more at visitfarmingtonnm.org and jolt your summer. KSJE and San Juan College present the Student Success Coaching Tip of the Week.
Hello again, this is Emin Chi from the Student Achievement Center bringing you coaching tips over the radio for week 8, finals, finals, finals. Don't let finals week become a nightmare of stress and anxiety. Get prepared and conquer your finals with these final tips. For 1, start early. 2, create a study schedule and stick to it. 3, prioritize your study time. Some exams may be harder than others. Number 4, attend a review session. Number 5, ask questions about the exam and study for the style of the exam. Create a study guide. Number 6, create a study guide or make flashcards. Number 7, take breaks and stay well rested. Number 8, quiz yourself or better, have someone quiz you. Number 9, visit the tutoring center for additional support.
The Student Success Coaching Tip of the Week, presented by KSJE and the Student Achievement Center at San Juan College. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.